everybody. This is Again With This, Beverly Hills 90210 edition. Today's deleted book entry is Season 5, Episode 11, Hate is Just a Four-Letter Word, and then in brackets, Fake Farrakhan. Is that part of it? I don't know. Let's do it.
Next time, if you plan on doing something like this, maybe you should invite Bill Cosby. A speech by a controversial black thinker tears CU apart. Season 5, Episode 11, Hate is Just a Four-Letter Word. While Dylan continues detoxing in hospital and senior citizen Ray celebrates his 25th birthday, the campus at CU is riven by political controversy. The Black Student Union has invited Reverend Roland Turner, whose credentials are hand-waved but who is an obvious stand-in for Louis Farrakhan, to speak on campus. Noah Levy and other students from the Maccabee Center, Hillel wouldn't clear its name for use in the episode, are demanding the appearance be canceled, citing a videotaped speech in which Turner makes boilerplate anti-Semitic claims about the Jews on Wall Street and the sectors of society they control. Janice Williams of the BSU counters that Noah's tape is a bootleg of a five-year-old speech, Turner's remarks were taken out of context, and he's subsequently apologized. Furthermore, CU is not paying Turner's speaking fee. The BSU is, out of its own funds. Sounds like an issue that requires strong and decisive leadership. Which is why it's unfortunate that the current president of CU's student government is Brandon, and that, given Josh's death, his legitimacy in CU's presidential line of succession is still under challenge by Brandon's old antagonist, Alex Diaz. So maybe this matter will test and thus define Brandon's political leadership? Ha ha ha, of course it doesn't. The problem, as is so often the case, is that the show wants to present both sides of the issue without actually choosing one. Aligning with Noah is Andrea, whom he lobbies because he knows she's friends with Brandon. She assumes support from David as a fellow Jew, and his position evolves from not really thinking about his Judaism at all to joining her in the protest, though without much conviction. Grandma Rose admires Andrea's passion, but doesn't think one speech is reason for Andrea to fight with her friends. And while Brandon, of course, does not support anti-Semitism, the episode has to throw three black characters in his path to help him form an opinion on Turner. Janice, a law student, says she wanted Anita Hill to speak, but she affirms the choice of the majority and cites the First Amendment without explaining how she thinks it applies in this case, probably because it doesn't. Deshaun is dubious of any pundit who makes a solid income telling poor people how to live. And Dean Whitmore tells Brandon about his days as a freedom rider and his attendance at Martin Luther King's March on Washington. Jews fought those civil rights battles shoulder to shoulder with black Americans, he says, and it breaks his heart to think their coalition could collapse in a single generation. So when the time comes for the Student Senate to vote on banning Turner from campus, Brandon bravely abstains. A profile in courage, indeed. The motion having failed, and with both a bomb threat and Nazi graffiti inflaming tensions further in the interim, Turner does make it to campus to speak. The Maccabee Center protests with a candlelit vigil outside. When Grandma Rose advises Andrea to hear what Turner has to say, the two go inside to sit with Janice. As a reminder that even a Holocaust survivor may have unacknowledged prejudice, Grandma Rose compliments Janice by calling her well-spoken.
Oh.
Yikes! Was Janice right? Have Turner's views on the Jewish conspiracy changed in the 5 years since that objectionable speech? We don't know, because the episode ends without taking us inside, and we never see him at all. And our keywords are campus politics, Jewish stuff, non-white characters get lines. I think that says it all.
Oh, God.
I know why we covered this one. It's because there's like so few episodes that deal with anything having to do with race at all. But I also know why we cut it, which is like none of this ever carries over into any other episodes at all either.
Yeah, like, that's true. I mean, I always forget which this is until I look at the parentheticals that we left on our own list to remind ourselves and each other what episodes are about. And,
yeah.
the faux Rakan episode, like immediately, I remember watching this episode to prep it for the podcast and seeing new Grandma Rose's lips forming the first part of well spoken and being like, no! Girl, yeah. No.
Yeah.
But she did it.
Yes. Oh. I mean, the episode's writers know what they're doing, so like credit to them, but still it's like there's a lot of stuff that just happens and goes uninterrogated, and it's like you can't, again, this is the problem with it. It's just like it's presented, then it's like, well, do with it what you will. Bye-bye. It's like,
well, and if I'm not mistaken, the episode ends with like a crane shot of Brandon Agonistes in the quad with doing that weird pocket blocking and just like brooding, like,
yeah,
who has less skin in this game?
Yeah,
that's an unfortunate way to put that. I apologize, but like, who has less at stake,
yeah,
in this situation than Brandon? Donna, maybe,
right? I mean, this only matters to him in as much as it affects his presidency, which is like, ugh, so gross.
God.
So that's that.